We're going to begin with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the class. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you are going to impart unto us wisdom concerning how to walk in honor and how to walk in a reverential sphere, Lord God, of those people that you have put in authority over us, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for our apostle, Lord God, the founder of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Lord God. We thank you for the first family, Lord God, and we thank you for what you're doing by your spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that we have been connected together, Lord God, and that, Lord God, that connection, Lord God, is bringing us to places that we would have not gone on our own. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, as always, if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, Lord God, I'm going to fall completely flat on my face. I'm leaning and completely relying upon him. So I acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and I thank him for bringing everything in my remembrance that God needs to share through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, class, we're excited about this new class session today. We're going to be talking, and I've shared some things earlier in this teaching on the discussion of Noah and his three sons as pertaining to honor and dishonor. But in the book, The Spirit of Honor, the Tudor Bismarck spends a lot of time in going over this material, so we're gonna get into it and dive into it in a greater dimension. But we're gonna start off by reading in our Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, and we're gonna start at verse 1, and then from verse 1 we're gonna jump over to verse 20. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 1, God gives Noah a mandate. And this was Noah, when I said a mandate, Noah's assignment. This is what God's divine assignment for Noah was. He says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So, as we know, the world was destroyed with water, and only Noah and his family remained in the ark along with every animal, two of each creature. And so God gives Noah a divine mandate by saying to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay, now let's go to verse 20. And in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 9, it says, "And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their face was backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what the younger son had done unto him. And he said," listen up here, this is what Noah said. He said, "Cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And then in verse 26, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant." Verse 27, "God shall enlarge Joseph, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant." So here we see an incident where one of Noah's sons, Ham, saw the nakedness of his father and went and told his brothers, but it's how he went and how he told them, doing it in a disrespectful, dishonorable way. Instead of covering the nakedness of his father, he exposed his father to the other two brothers, who did the right thing by backing up and covering their father's nakedness, and not dishonoring their father, but honoring him and covering him and protecting him so that he can continue the mandate that God had given him. And that's very important that we understand that. I'm going to read some excerpt from the book. It says, Noah was given a mandate from God to repopulate the earth or to dominate the earth. Very similar to the mandate that God had given to Adam in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1 and 28, this is what God told Adam. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the two mandates were very similar, repopulating the earth. God's desire was always to have a people that's going to serve and obey him. It's the Father's desire to have people that's going to serve and obey him. You honor God. Listen up. You honor God when you fulfill your God-given mandate or your God-given assignment. This is the most important thing that you can do in your life. To fulfill the will of God for your life. It's so very important that you know God's will for your life. You honor God when you find out from God, what's my purpose, Lord God? What do you desire for me to do? And then once you know God's perfect will for your life and you begin to now walk in that, you honor God by fulfilling God's will for your life. And that's so very important. The Bible says that Noah began to be a husbandman or gardener, and he planted a vineyard of grapes and made some wine and became intoxicated or drunk, and he lost focus on his God-given purpose and became uncovered within his tent. Or in, when you say in his tent, you can almost say inside the church. He didn't become uncovered in the world, but he became uncovered in his tent or in the church, in you know, among other Christians. Okay, let's move on. You don't just get drunk by eating grapes. There is a process of fermentation that must take place. And it takes time before the end product becomes wine. Noah, over time, listen up, lost focus of his God-given assignment, which was to repopulate the earth. And he ended up focusing on a sideline ministry of being a gardener, which wasn't God's mandate for him. So Noah, time got consumed with the byproduct of his anointing, and he started a sideline project or a sideline ministry when his mandate was to repopulate the earth. Listen up. Anytime an individual gets consumed or goes away from their corporate or God-given mandate or assignment and anointing, they become inebriated or drunk by off the byproduct of their gift, this sideline ministry that God did not ordain. One of the scriptures I want to point out, the Bible says that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. A lot of times in life, because God is blessing us, we may get off in left field and start venturing to do something that, though it may be good, though it may have some impact, but it wasn't what God originally ordained or assigned for us to do. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain that build it. Because God didn't ordain it, his anointing is not there to support it, and basically is causing you to go off in left field doing something that God's hand is not on. And that's what happened to Noah. And one of the things I want to point out, and the author points out, is that when an individual knows God's will for their lives, it's imperative and of utmost importance that we fulfill and with all gusto and with everything we have to fulfill and to accomplish that will of God for our lives. Anytime you have an individual who goes away from their corporate God-given mandate and anointing, like I said, they become inebriated with the byproduct of doing something that God did not ordain. So Noah was told to
dominate and repopulate the whole earth. But he began to build a vineyard, and this sideline project, he becomes intoxicated with this sideline ministry. I remember years ago, right before I became a member of Word of Life and sat on the apostle, I was very interested in photography and videography, and started a business, and was, you know, did pretty well in it, but it really wasn't God's perfect will for my life, and just seemed like things just wasn't going right, you know. But once I joined Word of Life and started hearing the word, God began to put ministry in my heart to a greater degree as I heard the apostle minister. And this school that you're a part of, when it first started some 25, 26 years ago, I was a member during that time. The Lord began to speak to my heart about being a student in the School of Ministry, which is now Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And not until I accepted that mandate or that assignment to sit under apostle and to be a student and to learn, all of a sudden now things in my life, with my family, and every aspect of who I was began to fall in place. Because I'll never forget one of the first times I went to Word of Life, and I was sitting here, an apostle minister, and I was just visiting at the time. The Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, "This is where you need to be." And I looked behind me because I thought the person behind me had said something to me, but it was the Lord speaking to me. It was the voice was so direct, and it was actually audible to me. I heard it, and I thought somebody was physically speaking behind me, but it was the Lord speaking. And that has been my assignment. Anytime I strayed away from that by getting involved in other aspects, and I'm gonna get into some more illustrations a little bit later, it crippled me to the point where I wasn't being productive and I wasn't sticking to what God had called me to do. But I'm gonna talk about that a little later. Let's get more into the lesson. Noah did not become, okay, I want to point out this illustration here. A ministry that loses focus on its God-given mandate can become intoxicated like Noah did with a sideline ministry and become uncovered in its own tent or in the church, not in the world. I'm going to read that again. A ministry that loses focus on his God-given mandate can become intoxicated or consumed. When you become intoxicated, you become consumed with the alcohol, or you can become a consumed with doing something that God didn't call you to do. It may be nice. There's what is known as the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Well, it's so very important to honor God and to walk in honor. You have to be in the perfect will of God. And so that's why it's so important not to be consumed or intoxicated like Noah did with a sideline ministry. And even though you haven't backslid and went back into the world, but you become uncovered in the tent or in the church, where nothing is really going to go like it should, because you're drifting off course. When a pilot sets the coordinates in his instruments, leaving from Los Angeles going to New York, that plane starts in a direction heading east or northeast towards New York City, you know, if he was leaving out of Los Angeles. But anytime he changes the coordinates, and that plane, if they only change the coordinates 1 or 2 degrees in either direction, over a period of several thousand miles, that 1 or 2 degrees off, you can end up, instead of being in New York, you might end up in Virginia City or North Carolina or who knows where, because the longer you keep going in that direction, the farther you get away from the will of God for your life. Amen. So you want to stay on course. You want to stay on target and fulfill God's will for your life. I remember one situation after I was a member. I was approached by some friends of mine who were former schoolmates when I was in college, who wanted to start up or restart up a campus ministry that we were a part of when we were students. And it sounded good, and I was kind of excited about it. But one of the things I've learned to do, being a member here at Word of Life and sitting under Apostle, was I always try to run things by my man of God. And that's very important, because I don't want to get off track. And I mentioned it to him, and his reply back to me was, do not get involved with that. You know, in other words, that's going to throw you off course. Yeah, it may be good and it may be productive, but God has other plans, and stick with God's plan for your life. Let me move on. God cannot bless what he has not ordained. And then I read the scripture, and I want to give you the scripture reference in Psalms 127 and 1. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Don't put your hands on nothing that God is not involved with for your life. No project, no ministry, no other endeavor. Always make sure you have God's perfect will and know God's plan for your life. That's the one thing that will bring honor to God. Okay, watch what happens. The Bible says that Ham came into the tent and saw, we're going back to the story in Genesis, and saw his father's nakedness. He saw his father uncovered, naked and exposed, or in sin. When Ham saw his father uncovered, it opened the avenue for Ham to be uncovered. What he should have done was provided a covering for his father, but instead he exposed his father's nakedness to his other two brothers. Listen up. If your father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the son also to become uncovered in their father's nakedness, because the son is a product of the father. Because if the father can do something and get away with it, you as a son tend to feel like you can do the same thing, because of the association. You fall in the same trap that your father, who's uncovered, fell in. And so that's why it's so very important to, like I said, to cover or to uplift, pray for, encourage. When you see somebody drifting off, you know, in the wrong direction, because of your association, it can cause you to fall into that same trap. Let me give you a good illustration. A good friend of mine, he and I went to school together. He graduated and he submitted to a ministry, and he was the associate pastor of a church. And over the course of time, the pastor, who was his spiritual father, the person he was submitted to, fell into sin, sex sin. And instead of covering and supporting and getting his man of God back in spiritual health and back in the position where he should be, he left the church. There was a split involved, and he went off and he started his own ministry, instead of trying to protect, respect, honor his man of God and cover him, left him exposed. And just like I stated earlier, if your father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the son also to become uncovered in their father's nakedness. Several years later, this friend of mine got involved in the same type of sin that the person that he should have covered got involved in. Same scenario, you know, almost identical. Because one of the things I want to point out is that, you know, it does matter who you are associated with or connected to as a spiritual covering, because you have the same spiritual DNA as your father. Okay, so it does matter who you become associated with. I always tell people, settle it in your heart who God has called you to, and serve that person and honor that man of God and respect them and undergird them in ministry, because that's so very important. You know, don't leave your God-given assignment, because the blessing that the sons or the daughters need is in the hands of the Father. And it's so very important that we as sons and daughters acknowledge our spiritual fathers, respect them, and undergird them, because their blessing is in our hand. But at the same time, as we'll see with Ham, the reciprocal of the blessing is the curse can also come out of their mouth because of our dishonor and disrespect for them. And that's so very important that we understand that concept. Even with a natural father, you may have a lot of similarities with your natural father and mother because of the association. You know, I'm a lot like my natural dad in a lot of aspects, because I've watched him, and you assimilate and you learn by the examples that you see the people that's important to your life. You know, spiritual father, you watch what your spiritual father does. You may even have sometimes the same mannerisms, teach the same messages, everything flows in the same vein. Why? Because that the anointing, as I always state, always flows down from the head all the way down to every part of the body of Christ. But the key is that you have to position yourself properly. Stay in alignment with the assignment, so that the anointing that's on your man of God, on your spiritual father, can come down and be a blessing in your life. Amen. All right, let's move on. Ham, who was the father of Canaan, came in and saw his father's nakedness and went outside and told his two brothers. This was disrespectful, and he did it in a very disrespectful and facetious way. He didn't do it respectfully, okay? And also the author says, we don't have any implication as to how he did it, but some translations say that he mocked his father, which is a form of dishonor when you mock somebody. The Bible says that he told his two brothers, the implication is that he didn't tell them the right way, and by doing so disrespected and dishonored his father. He spoke about his father's nakedness and his father being uncovered in a very cynical and facetious way, and by doing so sowed a seed of dishonor. Instead of exposing or covering the father, he exposed him, and that was a grave mistake. When you have a father that has uncovered himself, and the son speaks badly about the uncovering, it opens the door for the curse their father has initiated to come upon you. And I just gave you an illustration of that happening to someone I know. Ham's lineage was cursed. Okay? Remember in the scripture it says Ham was the father of Canaan. Okay? When Noah awoke and he saw what Ham had done, he didn't curse Ham. He cursed Ham's lineage. He cursed Canaan. And this is what it says here. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what the younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So basically, instead of Ham receiving the blessing, because of honor will release the blessing that the Father has for your life. If you don't get anything from this teaching, remember this: honor, when you honor your father, honor the person. That's why I tell people it's so very important that you locate by spending time with God and finding out, Lord, who's my spiritual father? You know, we've talked about this in previous classes, how, you know, the blessing that the son needs is in the hands of the father. You know, God has a certain way of doing things, and he imparts what you need through somebody else. But submission is so very important. Submission and humility are some very dynamic aspects in the Bible and in our quest to walk in complete and total submission and honor to whom God has called us to. All right. Listen up. Sowing the seed of dishonor as Cain did can affect the generations after you and your children and your children's children. It will cut off the generational blessing in your lineage. So sowing the seed of dishonor, as Ham did, can affect the generations after you. Your children, your children's children, it will cut off the generational blessing in your lineage. The word servant means you're going to be a slave. A slave to the system. A servant works for wages. A slave works for nothing. A slave works harder than a servant, and yet gets no remuneration or no wages. So when you sow the seed of dishonor, you work hard for the money, but you don't get paid for it. In other words, you might be doing a lot of things, like I said, accept the Lord, build a house. Your labor is in vain that build it. But when God assigns you to a ministry or assigns you to sit under a man of God and you serve that man of God and that you honor him, you cover him when he needs to be covered. You do whatever is dictated for you to do, whatever assignment your man of God gives you, you stick with the assignment. One of the things I tell people at church all the time, you know, stay with your assignment. Stay with what God has called you to do. Because your blessing rides on your obedience to fulfilling the will of God for your life. By doing what God's called you to do, being a blessing to others in that capacity. A lot of times, people, they might be gifted, they might have an anointing on their lives, and they take upon themselves to put themselves in a position of a pastor, or a prophet, or a teacher, or evangelist, but God may have only called you to work in the ministry of helps and undergird your man of God in that capacity. One of the things I had to learn early on was that even being in the ministry of helps, and that means helping to do whatever needs to be done in the ministry, whatever that is. You know, one thing I've learned in that capacity, though your beginning may be small, your latter end will greatly increase. You might start just working in the yard, or working in the flower bed, you know, working in the parking lot. But as you're faithful in what God's called you to do, the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east, promotion doesn't come from the west, but promotion does come from the Lord. When God sees your faithfulness, God is the one that promotes you. God is the one that elevates you because he sees you as a steward. You need to be found faithful. And it brings honor to God when you walk in that type of faithfulness, that type of stewardship by being a good steward over what God has called you to do. Because you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do and where he has placed you than any other time in your life. You know, don't take that lightly. Don't be swift to walk off and do something, you know, a sideline avenue. You know, when people, and sometimes people, they'll compliment you and tell you how anointed and how talented and how gifted you are, you know, and the next thing you know, they say, look, we're going to be working on this project and starting this ministry. We want you to come and do some things here. I don't minister nowhere. I don't do any type of ministry under any condition except my man of God blesses it and gives me the go ahead to do so, you know, because that way I stay safe and I know when I do go, I go with his blessing. You know, you always want to go with your pastor, your spiritual father, your man of God's blessing. You know, that's so very important because, as I stated earlier, the anointing always flows down. It flows down from heaven, in the throne room, Jesus, the right hand and the throne of God, to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and to every aspect of the fivefold ministry gifts, and to the congregation. And what is so important is you align yourself properly. So the flow of anointing that you need to accomplish what God has called you to do, you know, the nutrients is always in the trunk of the tree. You know, the branches get the nutrients from the tree trunk. The minute you separate the branch from the tree trunk, the leaves on the branch will begin to wither and die. It may not happen right then and there. It may not happen immediately, but over a protracted period of time, because they have lost their life source, the anointing that's flowing down from heaven. Then all of a sudden now ministry is more watering it with your foot, trying to work it in your own ability. And that's why when I begin, when I pray, I always say, Lord, if the Holy Ghost doesn't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Why? Because I'm leaning and I'm completely relying upon him. It's not in my own ability, but it's in his ability. And that's so very important that we understand that, you know. He says of Cain, that Cain shall be a servant. Now, this is talking about Cain, I'm sorry, shall be a servant. And then he says to the other brothers. Now, this is the reciprocal of the curse, which is the blessing. He said to Jacob and to Shem, because they have shown honor by providing their gift and anointing and covering the nakedness of their father, he said, you shall be enlarged. It says, in other words, you shall be blessed. I'm going to expand your coast. And then Cana was going to be their servant. Why? Because of his disrespectful, dishonorable act, he lost his blessing. Where now Shem and Japheth received enlargement, received blessing, you know, because of their obedience and their respect for their father and showing honor and covering their father's nakedness. So the principle is this. People who show honor, you always grow and you are enlarged. So when you sow the seed of honor, you're going to always grow spiritually and you're going to always be enlarged. You know, I'm going to enlarge you. And people that sow dishonor, they become a slave to the system. Instead of being blessed, their blessings are cut off. And instead of them walking in and fulfilling the will of God for their life, they live a life of unfulfillment and wondering what ifs and why things didn't work out well. I always tell people, when you feel like you're in a just spinning around in a circle and you're not quite sure, you know, which direction you're going, back up and then ask yourself, what was the last thing God told me to do? Go back and pick up the last assignment that God told you to do. The last thing that you knew without a shadow of a doubt that God told you to do. And when you do that, you know, you're going to get back on track. Because some people say, well, God hadn't spoken to me in a while. Well, because he's still waiting for you to complete the last assignment, you know, that he called you to do. And once you begin to complete that assignment and walk back in it joyfully, you know, and God sees your faithfulness, then now God will direct you in other areas or have your man of God place you somewhere. And then you're going to begin to see the blessings flow. Things are going to begin to work well for you in your life, in every aspect of your life. But it's all a matter of honor. It's all a matter of honor. You know, honor is one of the fundamental principles in the Word of God. It's a fundamental principle because God wants us to honor those that he placed in our lives. He wants us to respect those he placed in our lives. And so we must always honor whom God has placed in our lives, respect them, sow into their lives, so that we can reap the benefits that God has for us. And then we'll begin to see our lives blossom. We're going to begin to see our ministries blossom. We're going to begin to see prosperity, health in our bodies. When we begin, one of the things I always stated is that one of the ways you show honor to your man of God or your pastor is begin to walk in the revelation knowledge that they've placed on the inside of you. You know, whether it's healing, you know, apostles been teaching on health, eating properly, you know, losing weight, getting in shape, getting your body to the point where your body now can heal itself. You know, he teaches on prosperity, sowing seeds, you know, and when you begin to sow into the anointing, you can't help but reap a blessing from the anointing, you know, and your ministry and everything that you do in ministry and in life will begin to blossom as you honor whom God has placed in your life, so that now you can be a blessing to others as God has allowed someone to be a blessing to you. And we'll continue in this vein next week. Continue to hang on to your quiz questions, because as you've seen in the last two tests, I take my questions for my exams from the quiz questions. So if you get the quiz questions down pat, the exam should be simple. And something else I want to also point out that I was told here recently, the book by Tudor Bismarck, the Spirit of Honor, apparently is no longer in print. The ministry cannot get any more. So I'm going to continue to teach from the book, and keep you, you know, on par with what Bishop Tudor Bismarck has in his book. So you're not really losing anything. Everything we taught today comes directly from the book, The Spirit of